Luke chapter 11, starting with verse 1, he, referring to Jesus, was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples." As I've always been amazed that the disciples came to him and asked how to pray. Teach us how to pray. There was something about the way Jesus prayed that they wanted to imitate. So teach us how to pray. And so he said to them, "When you pray, say." And I take that to be a literal thing, that we are to say what Jesus said. And so every morning when I wake up, I'm laying in bed. The last few weeks, I lay there and I cough a little bit. And after I get through coughing, then I say the Lord's Prayer as I'm laying there before I get up. And so he said, "Say this, Father, your name be honored as holy, your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we all ourselves also forgive everyone in debt to us, and do not bring us into temptation." Now, that is different than the Matthew version, as Shelley referred to earlier, but it's going to be the same thing. I've asked Kathleen if she would come and lead us in prayer this morning. And so Kathleen is going to come down here. This is Audrey's friend, and so she's going to come and pray with us.
Our Father, which art in heaven.
Yes.
Don't interrupt me. I'm praying.
But you called me.
Called you? I didn't call you. I'm praying. Praying, yes. Our Father, which art in heaven.
See? There you go. You did it again.
Did what?
Called me. You said, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Here I am. What's on your mind?
Right, but I didn't mean anything by it. I was, you know, just saying my prayer for the day, okay? Like, I always say the Lord's Prayer. Makes me feel good, kind of like getting a duty done.
Okay. Go on.
Hallowed be thy name.
Wait. What do you mean by that?
By what?
By hallowed be thy name.
It means, oh, good grief. I don't know what it means. How should I know? It's just part of the prayer. Okay, what does it mean?
It means honored, holy, wonderful.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. I never thought what hallowed meant before. Okay, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as earth and is in heaven.
Do you really mean that?
Sure, why not?
What are you doing about it?
Doing? I mean, nothing, I guess. I just think it would be kind of great if you, you know, got control of everything down here, like you got everything up in control in heaven, you know.
Have I got control of you?
Well, I go to church.
That isn't what I asked you. What about your bad temper?
What?
You've really got a problem there, you know. And then there's the way you spend your money.
Ow.
All on yourself.
Well, these are cute.
And what about the kind of books you read?
Okay, stop picking on me, okay? I'm just as good as some of the rest of these folks up in here, okay?
Excuse me?
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were praying for my will to be done. If that is to happen, it will have to start with the ones who are praying for it. Like you, for example.
Okay, all right. I guess I do have some habits. Now that you mention it. I could possibly name a couple others.
So could I.
Okay, well, I haven't really thought about it very much until now, but I would really like to cut some out of those things, okay? I want to be free.
Good. Now we're getting somewhere. We'll work together, you and me. Some victories can be won by... I'm proud of you.
Look, Lord, I need to finish up here. It's taking a little longer than usual, okay? All right, give us this, our daily bread.
You need to cut out the Pepsi. It's not that healthy.
Hey, now wait a minute. What is this, criticize me day? Here I was doing my religious duty, and all of a sudden you got to break in and remind me of all my habits. Jeez.
Praying is a dangerous thing. You could wind up changed. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. You called me and here I am. It's too late to stop now. Keep on praying. I'm interested in the next part of your prayer. Well, go on.
I don't think you. I'm scared.
Scared? Of what?
Of what you gonna say.
Try me and see.
Forgive us our debts, and we don't forgive our debtors.
What about Bill?
Ugh, I knew it. See, I knew you'd bring him up. Why, Lord, he's told a bunch of lies about me, cheated me out of money. And you know, he never paid me back of what he owed me. Ooh, I swear I'm going to get even with him.
But your prayer. What about your prayer?
I don't mean it. Okay, I mean, not that part of it.
Well, at least you're honest. But it's not much fun carrying that load of bitterness around inside, is it?
No, but I'll feel a whole lot better as soon as I get even. Boy, do I got some plans for old Bill. Oh, he'd wish he'd pay me back. Mm.
You won't feel any better. You'll feel worse. Revenge isn't sweet. Think of how unhappy you already are. But I can change all that.
You can? How?
Forgive Bill. Then I'll forgive you. Then the hate and sin will be Bill's problems and not yours. You may lose the money, but you will have settled your heart.
Lord, I can't forgive Bill.
Then I can't forgive you.
Okay. All right. You're right. You're always right. And more than I want revenge on Bill, I want to be right with you. I forgive Bill. Help him to find the right road in life, Lord. He's bound to be awfully miserable now that I think about it. Anybody who goes around doing what he does has to get some help. So help him. Actually, help me, Lord. Help him.
There now. Wonderful. How do you feel?
Actually pretty good. You know, I don't think I have to go to bed uptight tonight for the first time I can remember. Whew. From now on, maybe I won't be so tired because I'm not getting enough rest, you know?
Good. Now let's go on with your prayer.
Okay. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Good. I'll do that. Just don't put yourself in a place where you can be tempted.
What do you mean by that?
You could change some of your friends, some of your so-called friends, are beginning to get on you. They'll have you completely involved in wrong things before long. Don't be fooled. They advertise they're having fun, but for you, it would be ruin. Don't use me for an escape hatch.
I don't understand.
Sure you do. You've done it lots of times. You get caught in a bad situation, you get into trouble, and then you come running to me.
Lord, help me out of this mess I am. I promise you, I'll never do it again.
You remember some of those bargains you tried to make with me?
Maybe, but okay, I'm ashamed, Lord, all right? I am.
Which bargain are you remembering?
Well, when I got caught speeding in my red sporty Ford Mustang. And then I pleaded with the officer to not give me a ticket. And I remember praying, oh, Lord, please, please don't let him give me a ticket. And I promise I will give you quiet time and devotion every day.
You didn't get a speeding ticket, but you didn't keep your promise, did you?
Look, I'm sorry, Lord. I really am. Until now, I thought that if I just prayed the Lord's Prayer every day, then I could do what I liked. I didn't expect anything to happen like it did.
Go ahead and finish your prayer.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen! Woo! We're done.
Do you know what would bring me glory? What would really make me happy?
No, but I'd like to know. I want to now please you. I can see what a mess I've made of my life, and I can see how good it would be to really be one of your followers.
You just answered the questions.
I did?
Yes. The thing that would bring me glory is to have people like you truly love me. And I see that happening between us. Now that some of these old sins are exposed and out of the way, well, there's no telling what we can do together.
Lord, let's see what we can make of me, okay?
Amen.
Of what our prayer would be like if God spoke back to us. I do think he speaks. He speaks through his word. He speaks through his Holy Spirit. But that was just kind of a little illustration. If you have your bulletin this morning, I want to share with you as quickly as I can a 24-point sermon. And so kind of get comfortable. And if you have your bulletin, really what I want to share with you 24 words. Now, it takes more than 24 words to get my 24 words out. But we'll tell you what these 24 words are. If you want to share, write these down in your bulletin this morning on learning how to pray. And it's going to be taken from Matthew or Luke chapter 11, the Lord's Prayer. But I'm going to go back to Matthew chapter 6, to Matthew's version of it. They're both very good, both inspired. But I want to look at this morning. And so I want to look at each word or phrase segment of the Lord's Prayer. And so as we start off this morning in Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 9, he says, "Therefore you should pray like this." So when we're going to pray, there's words that we say. And so the first thing that Jesus said was the word "our." And I like this word "our." It's a corporate prayer. It's not just an individual prayer praying by himself. We could call it a group prayer. The word I want to share with you this morning, though, is this is a community prayer. It's something praying together when we come together because we're family. And so that word "our" says something to me. When I'm praying and I say "our," sometimes it's when I'm laying in bed and I'm saying, "Father, forgive us of our sins." I refer to Beth and I because we're together. And sometimes when I pray in my room, it's "our," and I refer to the church. Sometimes we pray together. But it's a community. So the word "our" is important as a corporate prayer, a community prayer. Then he goes on from the word "our," and he says, "Our Father." The word "father" is an important word because this implies a relationship. A relationship that we can have with God. We can call him God. We can call the creator of the universe. We can call him our Father. It would suggest that there is safety in his presence. I don't know if you've ever been in the dark and been scared. I remember growing up, my dad would take us out camping at Roosevelt Lake. And going off by myself somewhere, I'd get scared. But when my dad was there, I don't even remember ever getting scared. When my kids would get scared growing up, I would say, "Listen, hold on to my hand. As long as I'm holding on to you, there's nothing that's going to hurt you." And I would challenge them. I said, "Have you ever seen anyone beat me up?" "No. You're safe when you're in my presence." So that word "father" has just a great relationship there. It implies safety. It also, there's security when we're in his presence. And there's also provision for his children. That word "father" just has a whole bunch. There is acceptance because he is our Father. And there's an unconditional love. And so there's so much that we could add into that one. But "our Father." He goes on in his prayer. Says, "Our Father who art in heaven." We believe that God is everywhere. He's right here this morning, and hopefully we are aware of his presence. He's also, I tell people, we pray and invite him into our lives, and there's times I say we invite him into our heart. And I know literally it's just an organ that's beating and pumping the blood, but it represents something. And so our Father which art in heaven, we know where he is, but this phrase is telling us that he is in a position of authority. And so when we refer to him as who art in heaven, it's high above, looking over, and it's a position of authority. He is sitting on his throne. And so we recognize, you see, in this prayer, there's so many things that we can learn about prayer. He goes on here in a prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And this is worship. The key word here is worship. It's not just an empty word, hallowed be thy name. They asked Catherine this morning, what does it mean? Well, I don't know what it means. Well, we need to know what it means because it's a word that's important. If we went back all the way to Exodus chapter 20, we would find that one of the Ten Commandments that God gave Moses to give to the people of Israel that still exists for us today, the Ten Commandments, is that we're not to misuse the name of God. Do not abuse it. There's something about that name. It goes along with Paul's response in Philippians, where Paul says there's a name that is above every name, and that name every knee will bow, every tongue confess to the glory of God that Jesus Christ is Lord. We sing that song, there's something about that name, and there is something. It's worship. Hallowed be thy name. Oh, the fifth thing, as we look to the Lord's Prayer, he says, thy kingdom come. And so as we think about that, there comes a point when we must acknowledge that God made everything. If we go out into nighttime and we see all the stars, limitless number of stars, God created them. We look at our planet and the oceans and we see the mountains, we see the snow, we see everything. God made it all. He owns it all and God controls it all. It was all made for His glory. And so we acknowledge that. And so that's the key word here, is to acknowledge the ownership of God. Everything belongs to Him. We were made for His glory. Oh, the sixth word, as we look to this, thy will be done. If Jesus is Lord, then we as His subjects must submit to His ways. We call this submission. And so the key word here, submission. Jesus prayed this in the garden before He was arrested. As He got down there, we talked about it a week ago, as He got on His knees and He prayed, Father, if there's any way possible, remove this cup, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. There was submission. And so in Jesus, in teaching His disciples how to pray, according to Luke, and here as the example of prayer in Matthew chapter 6, we find that Jesus is teaching us that part of that prayer is submitting to God for His will to be done. He goes on, the seventh word that we find here is the word on earth. When we think of submitting to God, the parallel to this submission is the word obedience. Here on earth. On earth refers to right here and right now. Not some distant saying, well, I want to do it. I'm going to do it. You know, some of us are procrastinators. Whether it comes to homework, oh, I'm going to do it Wednesday. Or whether it's cleaning up our room, well, I'm going to do it Saturday. Or whether it's fixing on the car or mowing the grass, we're procrastinators. And we like to put it off as long as we can. But in this prayer, He's teaching us obedience right here, right now, doing God's will. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And so that word obedience, right here and right now. The eighth word, as we look at the prayer, He says, as it is in heaven. Heaven is a perfect place with no sin. If you're reading through the Bible, read the book of Revelation, he talks about there's no tears, there's no pain, and we all gather around and worship. It's a perfect place. There's no sin. There's no temptation. There's no evil there. And so it's a place where life or existence revolves around God. Everything there is accomplished for the glory of God. And so when I think about that word, as in heaven, it's all glory for Him. We want to praise Him here just as it is there. Oh, that will be glory, glory for me. The ninth word we find, He says, is give us. When we ask God to give us, we are declaring our total dependence upon Him. I can't do it on my own. Our health can't do it. Our skills can't do it. Whatever the case may be, we're declaring our total dependence upon God. We rely upon God for all of our provisions. And that's the key word there, is the word provision. As we think about that, the requirements for living comes from God. The air, we think about all the pollution that we put out there, But God gives us the air to breathe. We think about all the things that we've done, but God provides for us. And so, please, God, give us. And then he goes on in that prayer. The tenth one is this day. Sometimes we can make general statements. Sometimes we make requests. But there's other times we have to have specific requests. And that's the key word here, this day, specific request. And that is what Jesus is doing right here and right now. Yesterday is gone. All we can do is ask for forgiveness of that. Tomorrow's not even here yet. We can make some plans for it. But the guarantee that we have now is right here and right now. What are you doing? So give us this day. Too often we think we try to live in the past, or maybe we try to live in the future. But this word here, this day, speaks to me about the right here and right now, the specific request that we're asking God. He goes on, give us this day our daily bread. We all have wants and we all have needs. You know, I mentioned before that sometimes we need to get our wanter, W-A-N-T-E-R, our wanter fixed, because we keep on wanting more and more and more and more. And sometimes I have to ask myself, when is enough enough? Well, we all have wants and needs. But in Jesus' prayer, he brings the necessities to God. The necessities. And he asks him to provide for him. There's one important lesson that's not mentioned here as he prays, give us this day our daily bread. And that is that he doesn't mention it, but we're not to sit by idly and do nothing. God gave us the ability. He gave us the mentality. He gave us the talents to do something. So do what we can. But again, declaring our total dependence upon him, God, give us this day our daily bread. Not all of our wants, but Lord, provide for us for our needs, our necessities. He goes on, the 12th word that we look at here is, and forgive us, to forgive us. God's word tells us that in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So we ask God to forgive us. He is faithful and he will forgive us. And as we seek forgiveness, it calls for a confession and it calls for repentance. And so as we're asking God to forgive us of our sins, it's repenting of our sins. It's acknowledging the fact that we've sinned. We've broken the law. We've gotten away from God. We want to come back to him. And so we have that repentance there. So he says, forgive us. And then he goes on, the next word, part of that, is our debts. Now, some translations translate this word debt into sin. When I pray the Lord's Prayer, Shelley, I don't use the word trespasses, as we find in King James. I don't use the word debt, but I use the word sins, because in my mind, it's more specific. That's what I have done, is I've sinned, so please forgive me of my sins. But the Greek word here actually means a debt, or something that we're bound to, or it means a obligation. So we're under obligation. God, forgive us of those obligations that we've got ourselves into. The wages of sin is death. I'm in trouble. I'm obligated now because I've broken the law, whatever it might be. It's something that is due. Because we have sinned, we are indebted to God, and we deserve to be foreclosed on. Foreclosure. But God forgives us. Forgive us our debts. Keyword, obligation there. He goes on as he asks for forgiveness, just as we forgive, or as we forgive. You know, it's hard to go through life without being offended. Have you ever thought about that? It's hard to go through life without being offended. So, a few years ago, I was running late. And so in order to make up the time, I put my phone down on my lap and I called my wife. And I says, hey, I'm a little bit late. I'll be home in just about 5 minutes. The conversation lasted less than a minute. But when I looked up, just so happened I was right next to a policeman. And so he was kind enough to turn on the lights and ask me to pull over. And then he was generous enough to give me a piece of paper. asking him to give him $150 for a ticket. And so I felt obligated to do that for some reason. And so I'm driving down the road this last week, and a guy in front of me is just a little bit slow, and I notice he's not really paying attention a lot, and so I go past him, and I look at him, and he's playing on his phone. I'm offended that he got away with it, and I didn't. You see, all of us, it's hard to go through life without being offended. Someone's going to do something and get away with it when we didn't. Or they're going to say something to you that's hurtful. Or they're going to succeed when you fail, or whatever it might be. It's hard to go through that. So whether we have people that intentionally hurt us, or people that accidentally offended us, or people that didn't even have us in mind, We learn to practice forgiveness. Forgiveness is that key word. Shelley, you were supposed to read verses 14 and 15 along with that this morning. And so to finish off what she was supposed to be, but I forgive you. You know, that's okay. He says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, "For if you forgive people their wrongdoing, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive people, your Father will not forgive your wrongdoings." And so there's something about a lack of forgiveness. We kind of experienced that as Kathleen prayed that this morning. About then God says, "I'm not going to forgive," or Scott says, "I'm not going to forgive you either then." And so we're practicing that forgiveness. Forgive us as we forgive our debtors. And so that 15th word there is the word "our debtors." One of the characteristics of God as we try to imitate Him is that of mercy. Mercy. People that don't deserve to be forgiven because of whatever they've done, but we learn to forgive our debtors and we're showing mercy to those in need. A key part of learning to pray. The 16th word, he says, is "lead us not." Life-changing decisions are made every day. I listen to K-Love. It's 102 point something or other on the radio. It's the last button on my radio. And I listen to that every day. And this week they're asking for money, so I turn it off. I don't like that part too much. But for the last 3 weeks, before they play a certain song, they tell a story. And I don't know the person telling the story. I don't know who they're telling the story about. But he starts off by saying there's a lady going down the street. She comes to an intersection. And she can turn to the right and go back to a family that loves her and make the right decision. Or she can turn to the left and go off into a bad decision that she's made many times before. And then they say, "Well, we played this one song on the radio. And as she heard that, she decided to turn right and go back to what she should have been doing all along." And it's just kind of a neat little song with a neat little story about God leading them. And so it's easy to be led astray by temptations or whatever it might be. It's easy to get lost in life when we start focusing on ourselves or on money or fun or whatever it might be. It's easy to take that wrong turn to the left and go down this path that we've gone so many times before. But what we need is guidance. And that guidance comes from God. And so as Jesus was teaching us how to pray, that was part of what he was trying to lead us. Lead us not, but God be our guide, that guidance. He goes on, the 17th word is "into temptation." You see, sin begins with temptation. As we see something, and you know, there's that temptation that's there to wow, I wonder if I could get away with it. Or that temptation, whatever it might be. God promises that there is no temptation that we can't overcome. I went to a Bible study in 1980, and in that Bible study we had to memorize 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. I don't know if I quote it right now then, but I had to memorize it word for word back then. says there's no temptation that you're going to encounter that isn't common to everybody. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to stand up against. But with that temptation will make a way for you to escape it. You see, that escape is a key word, because sometimes we get wrapped up in that temptation. We see it. It's not a big deal now, but all of a sudden it comes back later. We start fantasizing about it. We start thinking about it until it becomes an obsession and we get trapped into it. And so he said, lead us not into temptation. To be victorious, we need protection from God. And so that's the key word here. Lead us not into temptation, but God, be our protector. Protect us as we're learning how to pray and giving our whole life to Him. 24 words that can kind of just bring it all back together and make it so personal. The 18th word says, but deliver us. God can and will and wants to save us when we call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Such a promise we have from God. Our salvation is the key word here. Our salvation comes from the Lord. God deliver us. God save us. Calling out upon the Lord. Not that we can do it ourselves, but it all comes from Him. He goes on as he talks about the temptation, but deliver us from evil. Most translations now use the word evil one. This word here, I looked up in Greek because I kind of questioned what it really was. It does mean evil. It means wickedness. But as we look at that word evil and wickedness, it has an article. That means the word the, T-H-E. Actually, in Greek, it was ta, omicron, upsilon. But it has this article in front of it. And when we put that article in front of evil or wicked, it makes it a personal thing or a being. And so, deliver us from the evil one is what it's actually saying here. So, God's desire for us is to avoid evil. But the key word here, the 19th word, is that we pursue righteousness. God, protect us, keep us from the evil one, help us to have that righteous life, righteousness. He goes on towards the end, and if you followed along with Shelley this morning from the Pew Bible, you might notice that at this point, they're in parentheses. The parentheses here in this part here refers to that there's different Greek texts that we have. The New Testament was written in Greek. We do not have the original one that Matthew wrote out. We have copies of them. And we have multiple copies of them. I think there's coming out a movie maybe this week or something. There's coming out a movie at all the theaters on the Bible. And in that, it's going to talk about all the thousands of texts that we have. But different texts leave out different things. So some of the older texts have this, and some of them don't. And so we don't know if this part was added or whatever, but it's still inspired, we believe. So in parentheses, it says, for thine is the kingdom. Again, as I think about thine is the kingdom, we're declaring our dependence upon God. And we profess our faith in Him. The key word when we talk about His kingdom is the faith in Him. We have faith in Him. We have faith in His will for our life. We have faith in His saving power, that when we call upon Him, we will be saved. We have faith in His guidance, that He's going to guide us. We have faith in His forgiveness. We profess that faith in Him. For thine is the kingdom. It's your kingdom. And we put all of our confidence, all of our trust, all of our faith in you. He goes on and says, and all the power, and the power. You see, it's all about God and not about us. You know, sometimes we live that life where the world revolves around us. What do I want to eat? What do I want to wear? What do I want to go? And it's all about us, instead of the other people around us. And so when we think about all the power, I want to say it's all about God. The key word here is that of humility. The key to submission unto God is humility. And so when we talk about the power of God, it's not my power. Yeah, we can go outside and we can lift our weights and maybe we can lift up other things and we can do things. But no, it's not about our power, but it's submitting to God's power. And that's an act of humility. And so we bow before our awesome and powerful God. God, it's all about you. The 22nd word that I look at this, or 22nd point in my 24-point sermon, is, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. In spite of all the love God has for us, in spite of all the love we have for him, even in our personal relationship with him, to the point where we can call him Father or we can call him Daddy, we must approach God with reverence. We must approach him with reverence. I get scared, I get aggravated, irritated when I'm around people who think they have such a personal relationship with God that they can call him the old man in the sky or the man upstairs or something like that. He is not a man. Whenever I'm around people and they start misusing the word God, or they misuse the word Jesus, or they misuse the word Christ, whatever it might be, I kind of get worried. One is the commandments, and Exodus tells us not to do that. Jesus warns us about that. But as I think about this, the reverence that we have, every knee will bow, every tongue confess to the glory of God, Jesus Christ is Lord. There's a reverence that we must have as we approach him. Yes, he is our Father. Yes, we do have that personal relationship. Yes, we're told several times we can call him Daddy, but we still approach him with reverence. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. The next word, the 23rd word, is forever. God is our eternal Father. The word eternal, I had to look it up to make sure I knew what it meant. The word eternal means lasting or existing forever. And the dictionary says that it has no beginning and no ending. If something is eternal forever, it has no beginning and no ending. The key word here is God is timeless. We work on a clock. I get up in the morning. One of the first things I do is put my watch on. And if I leave the house without my watch, I tell Beth, I am lost today. I've got to go home. And literally, I go home to get my watch. I've got to have the watch because we live on a time frame. Some of you guys do too. You look at the clock and say, wow, it's almost lunchtime. We need to be ending this thing pretty soon. We live by the clock. God is timeless, has no beginning, has no end, goes on forever and forever. We can't comprehend it, but it's part of our prayer forever. He ends off with the word amen. Now, growing up in church, I was always interested in the word amen because it meant the end. And I go, okay, let's go. The word does not mean the end. Actually, it means truly. It means verily. When someone writes something, I read a lot of books. I teach classes. We're finishing up our men's Bible study tomorrow. And as I'm reading something, often over in the margin, I'll write the word A-M-E-N. Amen. Or if I'm in a meeting and someone says something that I really like, I'll say amen. I may be the only person, you know, because Baptists don't like to get too Pentecostal and carried away. But I'll say amen. And if I see someone do something that I really like, I'll say amen. Keep it up. Why? Because the word expresses affirmation. It expresses I like what you're saying. I like what you're doing. I like what you wrote. It's affirming. It's affirmation in our great God. And so as we end off our prayer, it's not the end, but it's affirming, God, you are the greatest, and I come to worship you. The disciple, one disciple, came, Lord, teach us. It's a corporate thing. He was a spokesman for the group. Lord, teach us to pray. And so Jesus says, okay, when you pray, say this. And there he goes into what we call the Lord's Prayer. 24 different words that express who we are and how we communicate with the Father. This morning, our desire in teaching how to pray is first and foremost to tell you that we want you to be able to call God your Father. A personal pronoun, not corporate, but a group, that you on an individual can go to him and say, Father. How do we do that? Well, it starts with an acknowledgement of who God is. It goes on to a confession that, God, I've sinned. Then it goes on to a plea, God, please forgive me. And then it goes on with an invitation, God, come into my life. And so this morning, if you do not have that relationship that you can call him Father, we want to encourage you right here, right now, before it's too late, to establish that relationship through Jesus Christ, asking him to come into your life, forgiving you of your sins, and making you the person that God wants you to be. You can do that individually right where you are. Or you can come, we're going to have an invitation. You can come forward and we can pray it together. Whatever it might be, the desire of my heart and the desire of God's heart, may thy will be done. May God's will be done right here, right now. Would you join me as we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to pray and to talk about prayer and to learn about prayer. I thank you, Father, that in these few short words, verses 9 through 13, you have taught us so much about how to talk to you. Father, may it not just be head knowledge, but may it be a heartfelt experience today. May we know you. Father, our will is right now for your will to be done. May it be so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.